talking about God's way and man's way. And so today we're going to talk about God's way to change. God's way to change. Do you want to change? Well, for indifference, just think about this. Would you like your spouse to change? Would you like your children to change? Would you like your mom and dad to change? Yes, yes. Well, the thing is, it's hard to change someone else, but God is in the process of changing us. Now, I think we all desire it. We all want to do better. We want to live better. We want to live a better life. We want to overcome the difficulties of life. We need to change. And so, there is a way that God changes us. He changes us. And so, the subtitle of the message is God's way to change inside us. Now, let's just show you some black sugar. In fact, the first sugar is really kind of funny. God changes us from inside out. Inside out, we cooperate by changing from outside. God changes us from inside out, from outside. We cooperate by changing from outside. Many times we emphasize the change from the inside. Of course, that is the most important change that can happen. Because God doesn't want just outward change without inward change. In fact, the next showing says God hates outward conformance without inward change. God doesn't want just the outside. But no change in the inside. That change is not the case of the parents. It's just that. And I'm thinking, like, why does that happen? We're all whitewashed on the outside. But inside, the soul of God is as well. God hates that. He doesn't want that. In fact, Jesus started in Matthew, Mark 7, verse 6, the book of Isaiah. Jesus even said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of the hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So God is not desiring just outward conformity, where we say the right things with our lips, but our heart is in the inside. In fact, Isaiah goes on in that prophecy, and he says, the Lord says, I hate the news. He said, I hate it when you come with the uplift on it. And the most of you do not change. And then God says, hey, it's only the truth. Because you're drawing more of the outward, but you will be the same. So God is after our hearts. He wants to change us from the core of our being and allow it then to root out and be expressed in our outward. That's what God desires. The change is from the inside. Now, we have shared that many times here. How important that is. But driving over this week, earlier this week, I was driving over to the church and I was sort of thinking about what I'd be saying. And out of the blue, the Lord spoke to me. And you know, you get to understand and recognize the voice of the Lord and the more you walk with the Lord. And I heard the Lord say, when I was thinking about this change, he said, I want you to focus on changes from the outside in. Everybody's a part of it. I've always thought, and what we believe, the change is from the inside out. And so the Lord said, I want you to focus on changing from the outside in. And so as I meditated upon it, this is the first sermon I gave you. God changes us from the inside out, but we cooperate by changing from the outside in. When God prompts us from inside, it always starts in outward obedience. It has to start from the inside. It can't start from the outside of my own effort. That's what we're looking at. Right? I set up the outside. And there's always some doubt about this. But He is interested in the whole being. And the reason I'm trying to pray through the tears of God. Now, here's the first thing I'm going to do with you, because we really have to see the inside of it first before we talk about the heart of the living. So God changes our heart. When He changes our heart, He begins to change the way we think. And the way we think changes the way we feel. And the way we feel changes our actions. So, say I get angry and I slam the door. And so I kind of shouldn't act that way. So I'm not going to slam the door. Or I swear, well, I'm not going to slam the door. Say, if you're just dealing on the action part of the story, because you're still feeling the emotion. So how do you change the emotion? Because it's your emotion of anger that's causing you to slam the door. So how do you just need to change the emotion? Well, you can't do it. You can't say, I'm not starting to feel that way anymore. It's there. You feel the way you feel. But there's a reason why you feel the way you feel. And that's the way you feel. Your attitude. And so the thing is, you can't just say you're going to do it. But you know what you're saying. You know what you're doing. That's a good question. That's wrong. So in your thinking, you have a mindset produces a feeling. So we have to have our minds renewed by ourselves. We need to be renewed. And it's going to remove the spirit of our mind. In other words, God's spirit needs to inform our thinking. I think it's such an easy thing. God tells us that the greatest thing we can do is listen. That the spirit is the greatest in the kingdom of God. But that's not so in the world. In the world, the one that gets to be saved is the greatest. The one that gets the honor is the one that's the greatest. But in God's kingdom, it's the opposite. We value serving and loving other people and loving like Christ and Christ. And so we begin to, when something comes our way, one of them says, I don't know why this is going to happen. Why this is going to happen? That's what God desires. That's what He's asking. He's after our heart. He's after us to make that change. So when I start this text, the Lord said to me, you need to focus and change it on the outside. You want to think to yourself, hmm, what's this? This is different. And I want to see that it's not either or. But it's both and. God is changing my heart. God is changing from the inside. But now when He does that, He begins to prompt me to act. And so my actions are something that's very outward, which is actually what I'm not committing to making a choice. So these outward things are prompting me. So here's the next step. Outward things require effort. I want to be careful how I present this, because if you choose to what I'm going to say to you from the opposite perspective. There is teaching in the body of Christ that says, we don't have to be in the opposite perspective. God doesn't do it. And you all know it. That's what I would say. He changes your heart, he changes your thoughts. If you take the view, I'm to put the case. I don't have to put it in the middle of the table. It's just not a matter. Because if you take that view, and there is a case, which you have to ignore, we have to put it in the Bible. That tells us that we are to put an effort, we are to be diligent, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so you realize, no, the Bible is saying, I have a responsibility. I can't be indifferent. I'm not passive. I realize it's not my effort alone. I realize any outward change without a change of heart is not acceptable. But I begin to realize that I have something to do. Phyllis mentioned it in the testimony. When you get into fear at home, I got to lose some friendship. I got to break some friendship that's pulling me down. See, there was an inward change of heart, but there was an outward action you had to take. Something was happening. And so the verse that we can hear is Colossians 1 and verse 28. Here's how it words it. Paul's writing, can we preach? Listen to Jesus. Warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, we may present every man perfect in Christ. In other words, man, mankind, or man, every man, you're perfected by the work of the church, the ministry that Paul was doing. Now, notice what he says in the next verse. To this end, I labor. He's labor, he's trying, he's working, he's labor. Thriving according to his working which works in the Bible. So he's thriving. He's putting an effort forth. He's reaching for something that he just can't do. He's thriving for it. But he's thriving according to a working that's within him. But he's still working. He's still laboring. To be presented perfectly in the presence of the Lord takes our effort, our focus. It takes an attention to it, not an indifference. Because here's the balance. Yes, it's a change from the inside out. But the inward prompting is telling us to do something outwardly. And it's my responsibility to agree with it, to work towards it, and to see God's power released through my efforts. God is the Holy One, not the Father. This is what Mark 12, 3 says. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first thing. See, we are to love the Lord with heart first. We always come to God heart first. We can have a little bit of his, you know, his favor, you know, come to God with all your heart. We get to your heart first. We get to your heart. And in the time of the offer, we serve the Lord. In the time of the offer, we serve the Lord. 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 Not your muscle alone, not your muscle in between of God, but you are, as you give in your heart, and you give in your soul, and you give in your mind, there is also I'm giving him my strength. I'm going to apply myself. I'm not going to be indifferent. When I sense God working and he's prompting me, I'm going to use everything within me to accomplish and to implement. This is power of change. Changes from the inside out, but when it comes to me and the prompting, I need to, in obedience, act on the prompting, and it's an outward thing usually that we're dealing with. Like that friendship.
Why are you going to that church? Why are you engaging in that activity? And it's prompted in me that is the outward truth. Now, you'll get stuck. I see so many Christians get stuck. Feeling in with, I mean, they have felt God in them. They really have. And they want to change. But they haven't been diligent on following through on what God is saying. This is where you have to engage with strength. Now, it's not your own power alone, because you're working according to the power that's within you. When you align yourself with what God is doing in you inwardly, there is a power release that you can do the things that you can never have done alone. But when you align yourself with the purposes of God, there's a power that will carry you forward. There's an old saying that I've heard, you have heard it, I've heard my dad say this many times, and it illustrates this cooperation. And the saying is this: pray like it all depends on God, and work like it all depends on you. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. When you pray, you need to realize, I need you, God, I need you, you need to be praying, and the power of you. But when you get up off your knees, you need more of your strength. And you're working like it all depends on you. Now, it doesn't really depend on you, but you're putting a foot. Do you want to change? This is God's way. My way is either I try to do it all on my own, or I say, I can't, and that's what God did. But God's way is you build your heart to begin to work inside to prompt you. Now it is prompting you to be diligent. It's a time when I work. That's why I felt God taking me. You need to work on the outside in. I had the idea down, it's inside out. But I wasn't, I think, and even in this message, being able to share, it's also outside in as we work on these outward things. Now, this is some of these verses here that sort of blood sources. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so this is the inward outcome. I say, God, I'm just drawn to different people. If you're going to change, you've got to spend time with God. You have to engage in the Lord. You keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. It's a gaze. As somebody said, the look stays, the gaze sanctifies. That's the principle. I keep my eyes on the Lord. As I'm looking at the Lord and reading His Word and sensing His presence, He's showing me something. He's showing me a better way to live. He's showing me a better way to act. And then He changes it from glory to glory. Now, notice it's glory to glory. The Savior added, okay, it's glory. But He wants to put you to a more glorious state. So don't get down on yourself. I even think I'm being changed from a bad situation. So Satan always points out our errors, all of our faults. But no, hey, it's okay the way you are. It's like a great child, right? Little toddlers running to work. And they get up and take a few steps and they go, okay. And what do we do as parents? Well, you can say it. I can't believe you. Here you got 2 legs, you take a couple of steps and you yeah. Well, we can, we're so excited for the 2 steps. Oh, good boy, good girl. And they, you know, they hurt themselves in the fall. It's the release. They bind themselves. They don't say, oh, they're never going to be better than they're going to be. Now we're going to look back at them. And, we're going to have a more step. God is just saying that. He knows our strengths and weaknesses. He accepts us right where we are. We're a new Christian. We're struggling over stuff. He doesn't want to leave you there, but He understands where you are. I love Curtis' testimony. Oh, I'm just a believer in myself that I've never done. You know, that's how we are. As a new Christian, we have our times where we fall, but we don't stay down. We get back up. And now, you know, when we're 5, it's a little different than when we're 3. And when we're 10, it's different. It's had it in mind. It was just, well, I'm not sure if it's just your brain. But things get better. You're growing, you're maturing. And so it is that we're being changed from glory to glory. So we just relax in the Lord. We love God, keeping our hearts pure. He asked us to accept God's love. Another portion of Scripture that refers to the same thing in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not doers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he has done. Both of these verses are talking about gazing into the mirror. When you gaze into the mirror, you're seeing Jesus, you're seeing his glory. But the other verse, James comes now, see, that's inside that. James comes from the perspective of our side. Yeah. Now you're seeing the Lord, you're seeing something, you're seeing imperfection, and now the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And he says, no, you can't just walk away from me. Now you have a responsibility. Now you do his plan. Now you put an effort forward. Not relying on the effort alone, but you are engaging and responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Now, folks, I'm talking to many people. I can be sick of this. I don't know what the Lord says, hey, you look on the outside of it. You know, we all know the things that He's prompted us, but sometimes we don't get it. We walk away. We see what we need to do, feel God prompting, and now we don't act on it. We just sort of go along with it. So this is why we got to be careful. We deceive ourselves. We don't care. You saw the imperfection in the mirror, but it's still stays there because you haven't planned it. And it is God's way to change. God's way to change is inside out, but also outside in. When you begin to be diligent about what He's prompting you to do in the Spirit. And I can think of a couple of examples here. Here's the next point. God changed people's names. God changed people's names. Changed Abram's name to Abraham. Changed Jacob's name to Israel. God changed people's names. Now, when Jesus called the 12 disciples, it's listed in Mark 3. Listen to what it says when it's telling about how Jesus called and appointed the 12 disciples. It says, then the appointed 12, that they may be with him. Then it goes on to this. The first one is Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. Now, this is interesting. And Peter wasn't called Peter. And they were out in the boat, and they said, they didn't say, hey, Peter, give me the net. They said, Simon, give me the net. His name is Simon. But when Jesus called him, he said, hey, Simon, I want you to be my, I'm going to call you Peter tomorrow. Can you imagine the awkwardness of this? The confusion of it. From that time on, you know, they referred to Peter, no one looked up. Peter didn't look up, anyone else didn't look up. And finally, you know, it's the pain of it, and someone came and said, oh, you changed your name. But keep thinking you too. Finally, you can get used to a new identity. Now, we know that the word Peter means rock. And Simon is anything but rock. He was impetuous. He was impassioned. He acted quickly. He did it. He was quick there and he talked. And this was his character. This was his thing. And Jesus is saying, come on. And later on, when he said, you know, so he was the sensitive from the world and from heaven. And he said, you are the first son of the God. And Jesus said, trust me, God has been good to you. He said, but my Father is in heaven. And he said, you are the one who walked in the world. It's a revelation. But Peter was the one who stood in the truth of the king. He was the one who spoke on the doors of Peter. Peter had to be changed from being wavering, boastful, I'll never deny you. He denied the Lord. In fact, even in that process, Jesus said to Peter, one of the 92 times for the podcast. And after you're converted, something goes. You see, Jesus gave Peter his name before he changed his name. He didn't change anyone through that whole process of denying. He was converted. He realized it wasn't me. He went bitterly. He realized he needed to trust God from that moment on. There was a change. But all along, Jesus was calling us. I want you to see the outward message. Peter had to begin to see himself, think about himself. When God comes inwardly, look for an outward response. When God changes inwardly, He will prompt you to an outward change. It can be the change of a name. You call your name differently. You believe something different. It starts inwardly, but He prompts you on something outward. There's a focus picture in 2 Samuel 12:20. David is praying for his son who is dead, and he's lying out of it. The son dies, and everyone, all of David's servants, took David to stand for a peace. And I want to hear about what John David says in 2 Samuel 12. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and went to the height of the world. He changed his clothes and went into the house of the Lord. Outward changes prompted by an inward desire to worship God. Now, being a child, this is where we meet up. We are right in sin. Oh, God is looking at the heart. It doesn't matter if you look like it. It doesn't matter what you do. Outward, if you look at the heart, that's what he does, and he goes to him. But if we're going to respond, if we're going to see God working in our life to the degree that He wants, then there needs to be a corresponding outward change of garments. And that can be spiritual, but it also can be real. How do you dress? What's your appearance? How do you come to church? Well, it doesn't matter, because it's all inward. I've been looking at that, and he's looking at that. But somehow, when David went into worship, he washed himself, he anointed himself, he changed his clothes and his name. And I'm not sure what I'm saying. I'm not talking about another clothing. But there is something about cutting outward aligned with the inward self. This is what my dad used to say. He loved it. So we're going to go and meet the emotions of the strong. So we're going to go and meet the king of England, we put on the best clothes. But why do we have a sense? And I'm not understanding, I'm not harping on this. I'm trying to just keep going. But why do we don't see there's a corresponding outwardness that God desires that responds to the inward? See, there are principles of the kingdom of God that are eternal. God is ordinary. God is meek. God brings joy and happiness. Those are eternal principles. The world is just the opposite. The world is flawed, indifferent, disorder, disrespect. You can look at music groups, albums, and more. Now you more download it and you see it and so on. But a lot of images of sinning roots in the world, the look on the faces of all the people, fierce, defiant, ascendant, slovenly, nothing neat, nothing dressy. The more you can just be a slob, the better you look. The more, you know, I'm just trying to lay it. All you gotta do is look at the music awards first. The worst thing is to show up at a music award in a nice place. Not cool. Why do Christian groups follow that? Why on the cover of their music saying the same look? No smiles, no joy, squatting in the appearance. Just provoking a little bit here. But you want to stop. Just to stop. You don't understand that. Stop. You can't tell my people to the closet. You can do one of that in the way you do. I mean, I know stop. But I'm talking about deep-seated those are not parts of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter what the style is. You see, in the store yesterday, in the coming media, they're right after we had met them in the store, we walked down the aisle, a little pile, and there was a pair of blue jeans laid out on the box. And it had lips and tails all the way through. There was, like someone taking and drowned it in the different areas so it's discolored almost through the fabric, not quite. Even though it was over $100 to buy these kind of things. Now I know that stuff. I know that stuff. But there's something behind it. There's an attitude behind it. There's always something behind the size of the world. It reflects the attitude of the heart. The heart is broken. The heart is sodden. The heart is disrespectful. The heart doesn't dress up. The heart is useful. I'm gonna show this to you. I'm not getting into this thing. So I don't want to be followed. I understand this. I can make a case why Christian groups need to dress this way so they can reach an audience that they wouldn't reach in another way. I mean, I'm aware of all these. But when I'm just trying to draw to the point, the outward is important. And I find so many Christians that centered in their growth, they don't change, they stop the inwardness, they stop the inward change of heart, but they never follow through on the promptings to correspondingly change the outward. And I thought God was saying to me, I work from the inside out. But you need to focus on the outside in. When I'm working on you and I'm talking to you, you need to be diligent to follow through on the outward. Now, I'm taking a lot of time here. First service, I talked about learning and the norm. And when I'm in the first stage of the church, get a beard down with your whole beard and hair down to the feet from his neck down to the bottom. Hair on the front, hair on the back. I hardly ever saw Armin because he had a big heavy beard and he had a cap that came down just over his eyes. And big glasses, and so you never really see what was in there. I said, Darwin, I'm not sure. So I hope you're okay. I got up to that and I never saw him. All in all, so that was so good. So I was fine with the back of the town. So I'm going to take that way. Keep that strong. That saved watching a TV program. And it took a long time, I mean, it took a long time getting on the seat to see those presidents. And a lot of things that clear up in his life. But the inward change happened in his heart, but the outward change didn't happen. And he told me, he said, it's not protection. He said, I intimidate any place I walk into. He said, I'm used to it. People don't mess with me. They're little or little. He said, he gave me time. And he said, we want to become a Christian. We didn't want to lose that. But he said, it's actually protection. And I remember the first time I talked to him at the door, which, you know, was probably coming to church. And when he started to talk, I said to him, I said, he's just a sad person. He's just a sad person. He's a good person. He's in the process of change. So we were doing a miracle. And so I approached him a little weary, and I said, Armin, we're doing this series on makeovers. He said, I said, I want to do a makeover on you. And go through the message. We're going to cut your beard, we're going to cut your hair, we're going to get your new clothes, we're going to get your new glasses, and we're going to do a complete makeover on you. And I'm not even going to be talking to him. It was just a powerful, powerful moment. You see, the outward change needed to happen. Take the outward change, you align your outward actions, your attitudes, your labeling of your name, your clothes. Is it aligned with the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God. If the outward reflects the change God is doing on the inside, if you want to completely change, both have to happen. God will be faithful to work on the inside. He'll be faithful to prompt you to outward action. But you have to be diligent to follow through. And to make the shifts and the changes that Curtis is talking about, Armin is talking about, things that tend to happen, you have to pray in order for you to progress. And if you don't work on the outside, then it gets centered to growth. God still wants to do something. Here's how the Bible puts it in Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, little brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is the reason for sin. Now we go to the end time. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I work on the inside to change your mind, but you need to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to show it, prove it, verify it by giving your body as a sacrifice to the Lord. David, I don't know what my name is. This is my name. David said it in a men's breakfast. And was sharing how he got saved. He was a man in the open world and in that culture and doing drugs and having given him how he got saved. And he's at this party and they're doing drugs and he's witnessing, but he's at this party. And some woman, girl, said to him, what in the how did that match with being at the party here with us? And I think that's what David was doing. And he said it at the men's breakfast. He said, I thought to myself, I didn't really dawn on him before. Genuinely changed on the inside, but it took someone to point out that your outward is not matching the inward. Now, folks, what's the application here? Tell you not on drugs. You don't have a long way down to do it. But you have something that God prompted you to change from your side. Okay. He is the inward. It's not the outward in him. No, God doesn't want to just do it. But he wants the cooperation. He's working on the inside. And you're cooperating on the outside. And the change is complete. And you're proving that God is acceptable and perfect for God. Here's your last thing. Man will come up with God will come up with it. Now, the verse is 1 Samuel 16:7, for the Lord does not see as man sees. The man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so many times we've taken that verse, I have, and said, okay, Lord, I can look on the outside here. God only looks at the heart, I can look on the outside. Well, this is what I felt the Lord say to me. You look on the outside, but that's what you see. Let me do what I see. I see the heart. I'll change the heart. I'll change the attitude. I'll work inside. So, if you let me do that part, what do you see? I see the outward. I've got to work on that. And as we in unity work from what God is doing in you, but work cooperating and having our heart outward, we're going to be transformed into the image of God. And we're going to be that beautiful perfection of the Christ. We're just going to be open your heart to God, but also be diligent to follow through on the things that He promised. Father, this message, I believe it's your way to change and bring these balance to us. This is a powerful message today. We don't want to get stuck in the sand. We want to be transformed. We want to be transformed into your image and be an outcome. Stay around if you can, have a coffee, fellowship, talk about these things. Go in the name of the Lord.